to see what it is that I actually have and what it is that I actually need. And as we've been going through this retool, and I'm asking God, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people on today? And I've been seeking him all week, and he finally dropped it on me, amen. And I was like, okay, God, we're going forward. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a little bit, and we'll go as have the Lord have us to go, amen, in this space. Am I forgetting anything or anybody? I also want to honor my bride, my first lady, my sugar boo, my dear wife, Felicia. I'm just so grateful for her being here with us. You know, she works with us and puts up with us and gives us the time that we need to be away to seek God, amen. You know, when you serve in this place, the whole family serves, amen. It's just not me. The whole family serves. When I'm up and I'm praying, everybody's up, amen, because I'm loud, amen. So, you know, we up 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, they are up too, because they say, well, Daddy, they're praying, amen. I remember, and I hope that my children get the fond memory. I remember when I was young, I remember hearing my daddy praying in the front room, and now I think about it as an adult myself, to hear that seed was planted then. Hearing my daddy up 5 o'clock in the morning, praying every morning, praying for us, praying for that church, and now that seed has been planted in me, and I hope to, that is planted in my children, that they learn that we seek God early and we give him the glory, and you know that he's going to work it out for our good, amen. So if you would take your Bibles with me to the book of Judges, the 7th chapter. We're going to go to a familiar story to many of you. You know, the story of Gideon, and we got a couple things about Gideon here that God's allowed me to see to bring out in Gideon on today. More specifically, we're going to be in Judges, the 7th chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Then we're going to skip down to 13 and 14, then 20 and 21. The reason I'm skipping down and around is because I'm trying to avoid reading the whole story directly, but there's some key points to what I believe God has given me today to share with you all, to pull those out. Amen. So grateful again to see all of you all here this morning. Amen. Sister Pam and Sister Carolyn and the Jordan family, and they got their entire crew with them today. Amen. And we're just grateful, for God is just so good. He's good. And I know we've all had a tough time. Everybody can give a testimony of some things that they've gone through. But through it all, we're still here. We're still here. And we just acknowledge him and give him the honor and the glory for that. All right, so my folks online, I know they told me last week, said, Pastor, we miss having that Bible up there. So I'm doing my best to have it up there for you today. So y'all work with me, you know, I work with a brother. I'm trying to do 2 or 3 things up here at one time. Amen. All right, so let's read on Judges chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, then Jeremiah, who is Gideon, all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moran in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. All right, so what's going on here? 20 has come. He's asked them to separate the people. He asked if they were scared, go home. Amen. God didn't want any coward soldiers, but he'll use them. All right, let's go. Keep going. 7 and 4. Too many. A second time. You still have too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, thou shalt go with, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lacketh will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Let's skip down to verse 13. Was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. And it came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell in, and overturned it, and the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered the Midian and all the hosts. Now let's skip down to 20, and then we'll be done. Verse 20, same chapter, it says this. And the three companies blew, their trumpets, and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about and fled. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous word, Lord Jesus, that we're about to deliver. Lord, we thank you for all the people that are here. Lord, we thank you for those online. Lord, we thank you for those. Go forward, Lord, and deliver this word the way you have us delivered. Now you to speak and not me. I should do things of us in Jesus' name. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. So we find ourselves here with Gideon. A, for all lack of purposes, Gideon is a coward. Gideon is a coward. Gideon is scared of everything. And so much, in fact, that Gideon often tries God to make sure that things are together. Why? Because he doesn't really want to go. And I find it interesting that God picks somebody who's scared. And I believe the reason that God picks him is because he picks him because sometimes the people that we think want to do a thing are the ones that he typically don't use. Why? Because people believe that, you know, this person is going to do this and that anyway. But when he can make, as they say, a rose go through the road through the concrete, that's unusual. So people pay a little bit more attention. I believe if you met Gideon, you would see his demeanor, that he's kind of scary. And one of the things you have to realize about judges, the judges here in the book of Judges, it's about judges. And these judges, what these judges did is that they actually ruled the land. Amen. And what they were not judges like we think about today, when they sit up there on the court and they decide this and they decide that. But judges were really military leaders. Amen. So you find here that Gideon wouldn't even want to go fight until he had to go talk to Deborah. Deborah had to talk him into going to go get the battle. Amen. So here we find, they set this background that Gideon is not a very likely character. So it makes sense why Gideon got 22,000 people with him. See, sometimes we find ourselves in a place that we want to do what God has called us to do, but we worry about it, how it's going to look and how it's going to feel. So what we do is we go find us a crowd. We find us a crowd to support us, right? And in that crowd, we can hide ourselves. In that crowd, we can rely on the people. Why? Because there's so many people there that if something goes amok, if something goes awry, then maybe you can just ease back in the background and you might not be seen. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? While I'm on the subject, let me go ahead and give you my subject for today is chill out, you're doing too much. Chill out, you're doing too much. We're talking about retooling today. Chill out, you're doing too much. Sometimes the retool means to take away. Because some of us are doing too much. We got too many people with us in our space. We have too many people that we're listening to. We got too many people that's around us. They've given us so much advice that we don't know what to do. Do you not know it's scientifically proven that the more choices you give somebody, the less likely they are to make a choice? I find it very interesting that the TED Talk that was talking about types of jelly, and she, on this TED Talk with this lady with types of jelly, what she had was there were three jellies, and when there were three jellies, they did some research, and they said that people almost bought jelly every single time when it was only three. But the jelly company and the, you know, people come around, wouldn't it be better if we had more? Wouldn't it be better if we had orange? Wouldn't it be better if we had apple? Wouldn't it be better if we had pears and every fruit you could think of? So then what do they do? Now they make a shelf of all these jellies and people get in front of them and they become overwhelmed. How many of you sometimes become overwhelmed by choices? When you have so many options, you don't know which one is to do because you know you want to pick the best one. And because of that, you become overwhelmed. And a lot of us are overwhelmed, not because we're not doing the right thing. It's just that we have so many people that we are listening to. There's so many folk around us. Yes, mom and dad, they good. Mom and dad is mom and dad, I get it. But God is also God. And just because they said it, and I know they mean well, but that's this thing called the age of accountability, that you got to know God for yourself. You got to make some decisions for yourself. You got to seek God for yourself. God, I know this is what my folks want me to do, but what is the best thing for me to do for my family? What is the best thing for me to do with my job situation? What is the best thing for me to do with my finances? What is the best thing to do with my children? So many times we're around so many people that we get lost in the crowd. So here we find Gideon, you know, he has 20,000, and he asked God, and God said, look, it's too many. Because see, one thing that God is about his glory. God is about his glory. God, we serve a God that likes to show off. If you haven't figured it out by now, if you look through Genesis to Revelation, God is a big show off. He likes to show his power. And this is no different. Why? He's not going to have anybody take his glory. So what does he do? He picks somebody who nobody was going to figure, because he knows Gideon is just Gideon. I mean, just the name itself by itself makes you just giggle, right? Gideon. So now he has Gideon himself. Now Gideon has all these people with him. He tells Gideon, yeah, you're going to win the war, but you got too many people with you. Now, one thing about God you actually find out about the Bible is oftentimes God defiles our logic. Just me being up here myself and preaching and teaching the word of God, to me, it defies logic. Why? Because me, by training, I'm a mathematician. Everything makes sense. I can calculate everything. I can calculate from the walls. I can calculate the air movement. We can figure it out. Because that's what we're trained to do. That's the world system. But God works outside of the world system. Amen? And since he works outside of the world system, everything that we think is good, sometimes he calls bad. This is why he tells us to be in the world, but what? Not of the world. So yes, I'm in it, I'm operating, but I operate counterintuitive into what is going on. I'm like that salmon that continually swim upstream. It seems like while everybody else is doing this and everybody's going there, I'm going in the opposite direction. And I'm asking myself, God, why does it always have to be hard? Why does it seem like I always pick the hard thing to do? And many of you asking yourselves that. Why do you start a church? It would have been better if you just sat there and waited for somebody to die and sat there and somebody else's ministry and maybe they gave it to you. But sometimes God calls us out because when he does a thing, nobody else can put their hands on it. So what is he doing here with Gideon? So now Gideon goes and he says, okay, send out all the scared people home. Number one, let me give you a couple of things for you to walk on today that's going to help you out. How do you cut these people out of your life? Ask questions. So God gave Gideon what? A strategy here. And he told him, I'm going to help you do this cut. So God gives us the blueprint right here, how to put the things in order in our life by what he did here with Gideon. Circle. Narrow your circle. Bring your circle down. Many of you listen to way too many people. You know, you're online listening to people. You're on the podcast listening to people. And I know this counterproductive because I'm talking on one, but these are for y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, those who are already saved. This is for the unsaved, amen. But those who are saved, you know, the Bible said what? They will have itching ears. Everybody's looking for a prophecy. Everybody's looking to say they're going to get rich. Everybody's looking to, you know, to say that, you know, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to go ahead and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. The Bible talks of these things. And what do? You go around. Do you go? I don't know about you, but my wife and I have this thing. We just don't go to everybody's house and eat. If you invite me to your house to eat, it's a privilege. And it should be for you too, because everybody's not clean. Some folks have those cats and dogs and just stuff all over the place. Come on, somebody. It's all right. We're telling the truth here, right? And they mean well. They really do. And I just asked God, I said, Lord, find me a way of escape. He said he would provide a way of escape. So sometimes that's by way of, ooh, I got to work. I'm sorry. Or we can just meet at McDonald's over here on the corner. That'll be all right. And we got to be careful of those places too, because they just nasty. Amen. But nonetheless here, ask questions. More specifically, if you want to know if somebody is really supposed to be in your life, ask them two things. Ask them questions that bring limitations. What I mean by that? Number one, ask them for money. You want to see if somebody's supposed to be connected to you? Ask them for money. Money is limited. All of us can use some more money, right? All of us. So therefore, what we're really careful with what we have, most of us, right? So if I give you my money, that's a sign of my respect, a sign of my trust, because I'm giving you something that I can use for something else. I'm giving to you. And when I mean give, I mean give. I have this thing that I learned some years back, as I got to a point that I started making a little money or whatever, that I don't loan money to family members. If you get something from me, I gave it to you. If you bring it back, wonderful. I had to make that rule, because if not, I found myself upset with people. And at the time, I believed that they really meant to give it back. But, you know, some people just are not good with finances or whatever the case may be. And it is what it is. So if I gave it to you, I already know. I mean, if you asked me for it and I gave it to you, I already know I'm not looking for it back. And if it does come back, wonderful. Because I just don't want you to set yourself up to be upset with me and me be upset with you. Because you know when people owe you stuff, you know how they go around you and they go the other way? We don't need all of that. I'd rather be my brother or my sister because I gave it to you. So if I tell you no, that means I don't have it to give to you. Not that I don't have it to loan to you, but I don't have it to give to you. That, I'm just talking about me. Another thing, we're still on point number one. Ask people for their time. The Bible says, a person's money is where their heart is, you find a treasure in their heart, right? And it's often said that people say money is time and time is money. So either ask for money, ask for time, or ask, if you're real bold, ask for both. Now you're really messing up. Not only do you want my money, you want my money and my time? And see, that's the thing about God. What does God ask us for? He asks us for our money, right? He says sacrifice, offer, give. Why? Not because he needs it, but it's a sign of that I respect and I trust that you will do whatever you need to do with this and that you're going to take care of this. Then he asked us for what? Our time. He said, worship me. Worship me early in the morning. He said, pray to me. Seek relationship. That takes time. It's very intentional. That's why I'm so overwhelmed when I see you all coming there in the morning. Because I know some of you don't get up there early. You could be something else you could be doing. But it's very intentional. And that gets God's attention. So that when I need him, he's already there. He already knew before I needed it. Do you see what I'm saying to you? I don't know about you, but I was checking my bank account this weekend. I got a little surprise. By way of the federal government, the Bible says, press down, shake it together, run it over. Who will give? Men will give unto your bosom. I didn't earn that $400 or $500 they sent. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We've been blessed through this pandemic. Our government has given us, threefold? Some cases, some people walking around about $10,000. And it's not over. But what I ask God's people to do, be wise in this season. Because you know, just like they gave, it's coming back. And we know that. So use some wisdom. Don't spend everything you get. But I know, I'm preaching to the choir right here. Let me be a circle. Ask them for their money and their time. Watch how quick the circle gets small. See, what God asked him there? If you're scared, go home. Because I'm going to require a lot of your time. If you don't want to pay with the ultimate sacrifice, which means you could die in this battle, go home. So Gideon cuts his soldiers down to 10,000 brave ones, right? So what's the point number two? Well, the Bible says that what? God said, don't worry about them. I'm going to test them for you. And when I test them, I'm going to tell you how I tested them. And then I'm going to tell you who to go with. Because see, you have some who will give you that money, give you that time, but there's still some other things there. Because some people real slick. I've had people who attach themselves to me because of what I can bring to the table for them. I ain't the only one, am I?
No.
Ooh, this guy going somewhere. So if I'm his friend now, and then God opened up this door, he gonna just, you know, they take advantage of your big heart.
Mm-hmm.
They take advantage of you when they see you struggling. Let me help you out. I'm gonna give you my time. I'm gonna give you a little of my money. Because they're going to come a day and time and say, you remember what I did? And then all of a sudden, everything floods back to you. And you be like, my goodness, that's what that was about. And you think, because they're in it for you. One of the things here, how do you test this? The Bible shows here, he told them, you know, those who lack like a dog, we all know how a dog drink their water. So some of them actually got down on their knees and put their face to the water and was laughing like a dog out of the pools out there. Okay? Then the Bible said there was another group who squatted down and they would put their hands under the water and bring it up to their face. What's the difference in between these two people or these two types of people? One is careless. One is careless. C-A-R-E-L-E-S. Y'all get me spelling here today. Y'all know I'm terrible spelling. Careless. Meaning that they're not careful. Now you think about it. Set the tone here, the context. They're in the middle of a battle. And they're on their knees. And the enemy's just over the horizon. With their face to the water, like a dog. Who do you see coming? Not a soul. What good are you to anybody? They push you down and drown you right there in the pool. These people mean well. They want to be a part, but they're too careless. They don't pay attention to detail. Versus the ones who were scooping their water. They ain't scooping their water. Why? They looking. They watching. They're on their feet. They're in the athletic position. So if they need to move in a moment's notice, they're ready to go. Yes, they got to have the water. You need the water to sustain yourself. But even when you're sustaining yourself, this is what we talked about last month. We were talking about rest, and rest means to wait. And when you wait, you actively wait. This is what God is talking about. Yeah, they're resting, but they still are like, okay, if it's about to go down, I'm ready. You know, some of you know you got those friends who just about it all the time. Them the ones you want with you, right? You know, they might not have all this and these pieces together, but they always at the ready. So, these careless people in your life, they fail to do the little things. They'll give you their time. They'll give you some of their money. But they make light of stuff. Oh, it ain't that deep. Okay. Oh, it ain't that serious. Okay. Well, you know, he really didn't mean it that way. Okay. We have to be careful because where God is taking this church, why? Because he didn't want anybody to come in here and say, you know what, we went up there and we did this and we did that and we packed this church out and now folk know where they are and now they doing this and they doing that. He's not having that. If they're going to send them, God's going to send them. We're going to do our part. We're going to go out in the streets and the highways and compel them to come. We're going to broadcast online. We're going to take care of our members. We're going to serve the community. But God has a way that when it's time, it's time. And he will reveal us in time. So number two, you have to test them. Test them and see do they pay attention to the details. And God will let you know. He'll let you know. He'll give you the spirit of discernment. Nope, that's not it. And the thing is, it'll be the ones that you thought were going to be there. They're there for a season. And they have that place, but sometimes they have an exit and they get off. And you have to be okay with that.
You have to be okay with that. So now Gideon's at a point that what? He has narrowed the men down to 300, and God said, okay, now you're good. I told you that I set the tone for Gideon. Gideon is skittish. He's a coward. He's scared. Remember, he wouldn't even go without them. And now God just took his comfort zone from him. Because many of them, like I said, we can hide. We can fall back. But now when you don't have big numbers, that means every person counts. So when you don't show up at church, I know you're not here. When you're not on prayer, I know you're not in prayer. Your presence is missed. Why? Because there's a specific job or anointing that you bring to the space that's important. So when you're not here, we know it. This is why everybody matters. All the time. So now, I mean, even to the place now, Sister Sherelle is running Zoom. That matters. Because I cannot that matters. The little things. That ain't much. But it does matter. Because it matters about the quality of our broadcast. And those who can't get here for whatever reason. All right? So then he does another thing. So he sends Gideon down. So Gideon is scared. Gideon said, God, we got 300 people. Man, you know how many soldiers they got? And we're going to win with 300. So he gives Gideon another thing. God would give you confirmation in the walk. What does he do? So if you read down, he tells Gideon, if you still don't believe that I'm going to deliver you, go down there and you'll get confirmation there. So what does Gideon do? Gideon goes down. This is where I read in verse, for those who follow, I think it was verse 20 through 21. He tells him to go down there. When he goes down there, there's this people out there like the marketplace. And the people are talking. Y'all know the streets are talking, right? The streets will tell you the real deal. Y'all know. They'll tell you, you know, if somebody got killed in the city, they know before the cops know. The streets know. And the streets are out here talking. And these some guys over here in the corner talking. And the dude was talking about, well, you know, I had a weird dream the other night. And I had a dream that this barley came down and this tent was round over. And with the guy, and the other guy's like, he immediately had the interpretation of the dream. He said, that means that that Gideon is going to come over and take over the Midianites. And Gideon's over here, and he's hearing this on an eavesdrop. See, I don't know about you, but I've been dealing with some battles here lately. And it's not been prayed. And I'm like, Lord, this is not what you told me now. But I hold on to that word. Because he said it was going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. If God told you that it's going to happen, it's not your job to figure out how it's going to happen. All you have to do is hold on to it's happening. So every time something happens to make it look like it's not going to happen, I say, no, Lord, you said it's going to happen. But Lord, you said it's going to happen. Why? Because he's reminding me that he's going to get the glory out of this. Because see, if I thought I made my way, see, sometimes this is what I'm talking about. We need to chill out. We're doing too much. You got an Abraham spirit. Well, we're going to have a baby and it came yet. Well, give me the baby. And then you mess stuff up. That's how we got Ishmael. It was not his intention for that boy to be here. But in his own way, because he cannot trust God's timing, what does he do? He goes out and he makes his own way. And now not only does God still do it, but now he's got to deal with another mess. So now he got baby mama drama. And he has to kick the baby mama and the son out. You think he felt good about that? It's still his kid. But what? Trying to do it himself. How many of us have made our own way hard? God said, I got it. And you said, okay, God, but let me do it this way. Okay, God, but let me do it. You know, like the Chris Rock said, let me do it this way. That's what we do. And I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to myself this morning that sometimes the wait goes longer because we did it. It's that GPS thing. Turn right and you turn left. Do you still get there? Yes, but does it add time to the destination? If you got one of the cheap ones like I got, that thing start going crazy. Can I tell you, then send you all the way back around and around the corner and all around here, and when I could just went through and did exactly what he said to do. So God gives Gideon what? Strategy. Number three, God will give you strategy. What strategy does God give Gideon? You go back down, I think it was 2021 in that area, he tells him to what? Take your 300 men. divide them up in groups of 100. This is critical, because you're right. Doing it with our own wisdom, doing it with our own knowledge, this is how we would typically do it. But watch what God does. He gives them strategy. God is going to give you strategy also. Yeah, they're messing around on you on the job, but he's going to give you a strategy. Just do what he says do. It's going to be unconventional. It's not going to look a way or whatever, but you know what? He knows exactly how these things are going to fall out. So he tells them what? Break them up to 100. So not only now, you went from a group that was 22,000 to 10,000 to 300. Now they're in groups of 100. Surely sitting this out here today. But he also tells them what? Take up torches and glass jars. Never once did he say anything about fighting. See, some of us, we spend all our time fighting, and God has never told us to fight. He said that I would fight your battles. That vengeance belongs to the Lord. Why are you fighting it? He told you to stand still and know that I'm God. Name one time he told you to fight. He always told us what? To stand back and watch him fight. And he will make the way for us. So if you're fighting, you're probably out of bounds. Look what happens. So now Gideon does what God tells him to do. They surround the camp. They got these jars and this stuff. And then all at the same time, on one accord, what do? The Bible said they blew these trumpets. Now let me set the tone of what's going on here. These boys are down here in a valley. And if you know anything about the mountains, y'all know the things happen. So they got this strategically placed. One over here, maybe like 95, 70 degrees. One over here, and it's another group over here. And what he did is they got them all spread out. They holding jars. They got their trumpet in one hand, they got these glass jars in the other. And upon the command of Gideon, what did they do? They blow the trumpet. Can you imagine how many, if you're in a place to echo, how many people do it take to sound like it's a million people in there? Not much, right? Two or three people yelling in the Grand Canyon sounds like hundreds of thousands of people. So you imagine for a moment, you had 300 trumpets being blown into a valley, and you all are asleep. Thank y'all, you chilling. Y'all ain't worried about the battle. They on the other side. Your enemy has now surrounded you, and they blow a trumpet. I don't know about you, but every time my alarm clock come up, I get a jolt. Right? So you imagine that being imagine you coming out of your sleep to somebody blowing a bugle in your ear. And not only just the bugle, but they sitting down in the valley, so it had to sound like millions of bugles at one time. And then after that, the Bible said, well, they crashed them jars. So that not only do you hear the sound of the bugle, but you also hear the sound, it's just the other church next door. Oh, you can, it's up to you. So not only do you hear the sound of the bugle, but you also hear the sound of what? The glass crashing. So what the Bible says is what? They all get up at this point, and in their disarray. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you sleep, ain't you a little groggy? You know, you get up, you know, in the morning, you kind of get that first side, I'm going to sit on the side of the bed and get myself together type deal. Get up out of their sleep to the point they don't know who is who. They're now confused. Why? Because that male, deal, think about it. When you're at rest, what do? You take off things. They're not sitting there with all their armor on. Them boys are in relaxed mode. And now they all wake up in the middle of the night, and they all grab their swords, and they start slaying the first thing. Why? Because it sounds like the enemy is right in front of them. So now they don't know that their brother in front of them is actually their brother and not somebody else. So the Bible says what? They go in and they kill each other and they run. Millions of soldiers from 300. And if you go on and you read on, then you find out in the Bible that they captured both of the kings. And they kill the kings. The book of Judges is a very violent book. A lot of violence in that book. A lot of things to be learned in that book. So what I'm saying here is that what? God would give you strategy. He would give you a plan. You work the plan that God gives you. I know some of you be like, it just don't make sense. I know, trust me. You think it makes sense to get in to surround the mountains and hold some trumpets and not have a sword in their hand and have these jars? None of that makes sense. But was it effective? Absolutely. And they win the battle, but all means not even killing anybody. They killed themselves. What am I saying? I'm saying to you right now, prophetically, that the situation that you're worried about, don't worry about it. It's about to self-implode. It's about to self-implode. All you got to do is stand back and just do what God has told you to do. And then when you will sin, or when that situation dissipates and you come out as pure as gold, when you come out smelling like a rose, remind you that what? It was nothing you done, but it was His will that was done. And when it's done, nothing else will be able to touch you because God put you there. So chill out. You're doing too much. See, it's those people that you're listening to that's telling, well, if I were you, I'd be mad. I'd be up there. I'd give them a piece of my mind. Well, if I were you, I would go up there and I would do this. They wouldn't treat me this way. See, it's those that we have to eliminate out of our life. It's those who put us in this place. And then we end up what, getting it in our own way because God has already told us how to do it, but we're determined to do it the way that we believe is going to work. We're working on our logic, and God is already sitting back, and He already has it planned out. And all you got to do is just wait and stand still, and then the thing falls in your lap. And you'll be looking around like, my goodness, how did this happen? How did Gideon win the battle without a sword? How did Gideon jump through this? The coward one, the one who was scared to go to begin with. How are they winning battles? Because he's standing back and realizing it's not me, but it's in you. So I'm telling you today, chill out, you all. We don't supposed to be worried. The Bible said, can a man gain one cubit to his stature by worrying? And the answer is no. You're worrying yourself to death, you're not sleeping well, You borderline depression. That's not what He called us to be. Love, power, and sound mind. No double-mindedness. I know it looks bleak, but look what He did for Gideon. I know it looked bleak, but look what He did for the Hebrew boys. Example after example after example. Look what He did with Moses. Look what He did with Paul and Silas. Example. Look what He did with Paul. Shipwrecked 2 times. Snakes biting him. All kinds of stuff. He's always provided a way of escape. And it's not going to be any different. Why? Because He got to show His glory. Because they already know where you stand. They know who you stand for. And now they want to see, what's to this God? Do you not know that more people will be delivered by watching them, watching you go through that situation you're going through than anything else? No, but bow back and tell them how many times I can take them out to eat, no matter how many times I can do this and that. Sometimes people just looking for an example. And the example is us. We said, God used us to their service. And God said, okay. And now when He uses us, we're like, oh, God, Lord, why this, why that? All said and done, watch this. And you find this in the Bible, where there's such maybe one, I guess, but none of them ever go through anything like that again. Because once God proves Himself, people know who God's anointed. They know who God's powerful. They know who God has put in place. They know who God is set apart. And all you got to do is stand. I know that's easier said than done, but I want to remind you today of the stand. So chill out. Your retool this week. Start cutting some folk. You got some folk you're listening to, you don't need to be listening to. Me included. And it's hard because I like it. I really do. But I'm finding that what they're saying is not lining up with what God wants to say. What they're saying is, it's great if I was in the world system. You're right if I'm in the world system. But remember, I serve a king that surpasses this kingdom. And because I serve that king, His ways are not my ways. And my thoughts are not His thoughts. And therefore, I have to continually be in contact and download from Him to understand that which He's saying to us. Am I making sense to anybody on this one? Amen. See, God is good, right? Because I'm done. Hallelujah. We ain't staying here. This is our normal time. So if you would stand on your feet this morning, just praying as we get ready to prepare to get on out of here. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you. See if I can find some little music. Like I said, you've just been thinking about things and just knowing, but there's no God got it. He 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 already said He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And all you got to do is just chill out, relax, chill out, relax. He got it. He got it. He got it. He got it. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we thank you for, Lord Jesus, the tremendous praise that's gone forth. We thank you for blessing us with your spirit, oh God, that's come into this place on today, Lord Jesus, to refresh us, oh God. For it's been many months, Lord Jesus, since we've been together, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, we love you, Lord, that we didn't lose not one member of our organization and our church, oh God, that we did not have one member in our church organization even become ill. And we're grateful for that, oh God. We don't take those things for granted. Lord, I ask that you watch and we keep those that are online, Lord Jesus, as well as here in this place. Lord, I ask you strength us and keep us, oh God. Show us this week, Lord Jesus, as we work the strategy, Lord, as we relax and know, Lord Jesus, that you got it, Lord. Show us who, Lord Jesus, we got to let go, Lord. Show us who is not really for us, oh God. It's only what they can get, oh God. Show us, Lord Jesus, those that we are to take into battle, Lord. Give us strategy, oh God. Lord Jesus, that we work the strategy, that we work the plan that you put before our hand, oh God. And know, Lord Jesus, that you're going to let it all come together, for all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And Lord, I ask that you touch, if anybody is sick among us, oh God, that you touch their bodies, continue to strengthen and keep them, oh God. Level them, oh God. Help them, oh God, to go to the next level, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you. Lord, I ask that you touch family members, extended family members, strengthen and keep them, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch my son and my mother-in-law, oh God, as they're home, Lord Jesus, bless them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God, Lord Jesus, from the sickness or cold that they may have. Bless them, oh God. Help them to go to the next level, Lord. And I thank you for everything that you're doing. Lord, I ask that this anointing, Lord Jesus, that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, that you put in us on this day. Lord Jesus, that it helps us, oh God. Lord Jesus, take us through the week. And I thank you, Lord, we love you and we praise your name, Lord. We give your name all the honor and all the praise. For we know this one thing and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I ask that this morning, if you know, as we transition to our offering part of our service, you all know we pretty much almost a cashless church. So cash out, man, and for those online here, cash out. St. Luke 6:38 says this: give and it should be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For those who would like to get to the Safe House Church, you can make a check or money order book payable to P.O. Box 862 Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box 862 Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Or you can do the cash app. That's the $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, it's $ Safe House Church GSO. Or PayPal m.me/ministry8. That's paypal.me/ministry8. Amen. And we're just so grateful to each and every one of you that are here this morning. Do we have anybody who wants to give physically here this morning? Please come on. We've already blessed that all for me. Amen. How many of you feel good this morning? How many of you feel good this morning? I don't know about you, but I feel as all is well in my soul. Amen. I'm so grateful, 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 grateful. Hallelujah. Those online, we thank you all for tuning in on this morning, for God has been good and his mercies endure forever. We're so grateful, so grateful. Hallelujah, Jesus. So be reminded on next week, we have on Monday nights, we still have the Women at the Well, amen, that beautiful, beautiful Bible study that's going on there. Just so grateful for what you all are doing in there. I'm hearing many, many good things, and I'm grateful, and we look forward to continually supporting you all as you all go forward in that space and you continue to go for Women to Well. If you desire to join Women to Well, you go to safehousechurchgso.com/women. That allow you to register. It will send you an email. In that email, then you use that email, there'll be a link, and therefore you're coming down and celebrating with them each and every week. God bless you all. I love you all. All hearts and minds clear here. Amen. Anybody here, anybody desiring a prayer or anything? Hallelujah. Well, I want to remind you that we will be on our prayer.